Good morning, dear friends. Today is June the 6th in the year 2023. We are in our retreat, Finding Our True Home. My name is Brother Phaphu. It means Dhamma friend. I first came to Plum Village when I was 9 years old. I also grew up in a Buddhist family, but I didn't really know what Buddhism was. And I think growing up in a Buddhist family, we're told to light an incense, to bow once in a while to the altar, go to the temple for good luck or good merit. And I followed my parents' instruction until I meet the rebellious little child in me that didn't want to just follow and wanted to understand what the meaning is behind all of this. But because my parents weren't very good with language and with words, they didn't explain much, but they just said, just do it, it's good for you. Who has experienced this? And slowly, as a curious child growing up, I started to push away a lot of my own heritage. I started to deny my own roots. And I grew up in Canada, Toronto. And all around me were people of different nationality, and their narration towards what success is and what independence and what I want to be was definitely not something in my household. So this retreat, the name Finding Our True Home, it's a deep practice. It is Buddhism. Mindfulness, the practice of mindfulness, is learning to come home to oneself. Most of the time, we are very much busy in our minds, whether it is towards the past, or thoughts towards the future, or even fears in the present. Our complexes, inferiority, superiority, or even equality. Even equality is a complex, because equality is still trying to be as good as someone. So there's even complexes in equality. And I am sure all of us have experienced feeling little, or there are moments we feel more better than. I have also experienced this myself, and I ask myself, does that give us freedom? The practice in Buddhism, our roots, our heritage towards a spiritual dimension, it is to help us touch freedom. But for us, just like mindfulness, we always have to say mindfulness of something. Freedom is also freedom of something. Happiness is happiness of something. So when I learn to come home to myself, where do I arrive? First and foremost, I learn to arrive within my own skin. And this was a very difficult practice for myself. Around me, all my superheroes weren't particularly Vietnamese. I wanted to be a hockey player, one of the most whitest sport in Canada. There was nothing that leaned me towards my own culture, my own maybe talent that I have received from my ancestors. And slowly I picked up martial arts, thinking that that would connect me to my roots, but that only made me more violent. But some discipline, some very good discipline. But when I learned, when I first came to Plum Village, which where you are now, but back in 1996, it was much more country, rural. Barns were still very much part of our meditation halls. It wasn't as pretty as it is now, but what I touched and what I saw were happy people around me, and especially those who were Asian, those who were in their skin and walking like a free person. And this was very strange for me, because my idea about monastics were something that they should be very old. They're not that happy. That's why they become monastics. And we don't vibe with each other. Because I was always afraid whenever I went to monasteries and temples. I felt so distant, and when a monk look at you, it's normally because you're not doing something quote-unquote right. So I carried with me this baggage of fear. My first meeting of Plum Village was actually not in Plum Village physically, but it was at the train station Saint-Foy-la-Grand, where I think most of us arrived at. And I'm very happy that that station is still there. It's my childhood towards Plum Village. And the monk that came and picked us up was very young. And the way he met us, he met my family, my sister, my father, and I. He met us with a smile, and he met us with full presence. And he joined his palm, and he bowed, a very deep bow. I was only 9 years old. I've never been respected like this. So suddenly, a monk, someone who is, quote unquote, of another dimension, was meeting us worldly people with such grace, left a big imprint towards a young child. And when I went, automatically you just go, whoa, 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 and you bow back, you are curious. And I met the monastics of Plum Village and this community, and I learned about it from a Zen master named Thich Nhat Hanh. I didn't know his history, but through the weeks, I started to understand that he was also a child of Vietnam, a child of someone somewhere in the East, but who have learned to make his home wherever he goes. You know, the first Dhamma seal, Plum Village, it is, I have arrived, I am home. I have arrived, I am home. And this insight, these words, is very simple, but it was the insight from someone who was exiled from his own homeland. The suffering, the despair, the fear that one must have when they are exiled from their own body, their own flesh, their homeland. I can't imagine what that sensation and what that feeling that a person has to go through when they hear that news. But in Buddhism, we learn to take care of suffering. We learn to accept the situation. We learn to embrace the present moment. only by accepting, embracing the present moment can we find a way out. We can be fighting, we can be rejecting, we can be ignoring, but the pain and the suffering will always be there until we take a moment to stop, a moment to look inwards, to see the pain and the feelings that are present. This is meditation. There's two wings of a bird in meditation. The first one is stopping. Stopping here is not just physically. And this is why in Plum Village, part of our tradition is whenever you hear the sound of the bell, you learn to stop physically, and you learn to be one with your body, release the tension in your body, to feel what is there in the present. We know that mind and body are interrelated. They correspond with each other. When you are anxious, your heartbeat will race faster. When you are angry, your fists may be, you may be clenching your fists. When you're in fear, your body may shake. So different tension that we have in our body relates to the emotions that manifest. So coming home, learning to stop, is first of all stopping to identify how am I right now, right here? Is there any tension? Can I release the tension? Or if there is tension, can I bring another energy towards that tension? And we invite mindfulness, our awareness, to accompany the feelings and the tension in our body. And the second wing is to look deeply. Why do I have these feelings? Where are these feelings coming from? The more we learn about ourselves, the more we will learn to be at ease and comfortable in our own home, which is our body. So our teacher, from all of this storm, he realized by coming home to himself that home, this destination we call home, is not exactly Vietnam, Hong Kong, Canada, United States, or even France. But home is where we can dwell happily in the present moment. This home, nobody can take that away from us. If we know how to take care of the present moment, we make that our home. You may be here, but you would not have arrived to Plum Village if you have not yet tasted arriving in your breath, arriving in your body, arriving in your steps. Learning to come home is also learning to accept oneself. Acceptance is a very powerful energy. Because when we start to accept ourselves, we start to embrace who we are. And please understand, accepting oneself is a journey. It's not a one-time thing, and you feel, all right, I know who I am. Because we're always changing. We're always growing. As well as we are still discovering ourselves. We've learned about our ancestors' roots, genetic. We also have spiritual roots. We also have land ancestor roots. Growing up, I didn't feel Vietnamese, even though I love pho. The most Asian thing about me is I love instant noodle. Gotta get that shot of MSG once in a while. But my daily life, I was always trying to be someone else. And I'm sure many of us, we go through this. I don't know how it is in Europe, but in Canada, we call it the banana complex. We all know that, right? Some of us may have experienced this, or some of us, if we're lucky, we were around people who learned, who taught us to be at ease in our own skin. But I wasn't that lucky. And I actually had a grudge toward Vietnam itself. Because my parents, they were refugees. And my father, with a lot of courage and non-fear, he was a boat person. And the first time he got caught, and he was in prison for 2 years. And the stories that I was able to hear, some of it were horror stories. But even after being released from prison, he never gave up that dream. And he went again as a boat person. And he spent almost a year in the refugee camp in Hong Kong before being able to arrive to Canada. So in me, a child of my parents, if they left Vietnam because it wasn't a suitable country, deep inside of me, I didn't have love. And then I came to Plum Village. And I learned that my teacher was exiled from also Vietnam, the second arrow, another arrow. So deep inside of me, my heritage, I always said, my roots are from Vietnam, but I'm Canadian. Where's your home, brother? Oh, I'm from Canada. And that has always been my message. We are a continuation of past ancestors, spiritual, and land. And I could never escape that, though. That is a truth. That is a fact. No matter how far I run, that is my roots. That is my heritage. Slowly, slowly, I start to see beauty as well as seeing the pain. And becoming a monk was also very difficult in feeling at ease. Not with the tradition, but being viewed. You know, every time we went to the market in Bergerac or in Saint-Foy-la-Grand or in Bordeaux, we were like exotic fruits, you know. We're walking around, everybody's like, what the heck are they? And that energy, that eye, that view, it brought a lot of fear in me. I always walk with my head down, no eye contact. I wanted to avoid, quote unquote, the eyes of discrimination, or even maybe a thought of not good enough, because those complexes live inside of me. So I knew those were my trigger points. But it was my own mind, right? It is our own perceptions that are creating these own thoughts and these own fear. Who knows what they're thinking? They might think, oh my God, what is that? How cool. But that was never in my dictionary, it was always more like, ew, what are they, right? And that was because there was a deep wound, a deep hole, a vortex of emptiness here. When I started to understand my own pattern in my mind, I knew I had a lot of work to do. The work was to come home and start to accept who I am. And this work is a work of years. I've been a monk now for 21 years, and I'm still practicing, and I'm still learning to have solidity in my own presence. But what I can share with you is that it is possible. The first power we speak in the five powers of in Buddhism is faith or trust. Faith here for us is not a devotional faith. It's not a faith in something beyond us. For us, a Buddha, the Buddha, this person right here, he's not a god. He's a teacher. He is someone who have understood suffering, had the courage to cut off from royalty, from the path of being a king, in order to touch liberation in himself. And then he had the aspiration to bring these teachings to other people. Because he can do it, we all can do it. And the Buddha himself was a revolutionist. He grew up in a society. The moment you are born, you're discriminated into different caste system. If you're untouchable, if you are someone from royalty, or to be a worker, etc., etc. And when he saw that discrimination is a deep source of suffering, it is what divides all of us. It is what creates hatred, which create greed, violence, war, and destruction. So when we come home to ourselves, we learn to trust that we have many wonderful qualities in us. You have to start to see the talent, the skills, the different characteristics that brings you joy, are present, are alive, and they are also your offering to the many people around you. We say in our tradition, we have many seeds inside of us. Particularly in our tradition, we say 51 mental formations. When we know how to touch happiness, that is a seed of happiness. We know how to care for it. We know how to cultivate it. Love is a seed. I'm sure many of us have been in love. And sometimes to love other is easier than to love oneself. We did this homework with a group of climate activist leaders last year. On the last day, we sat in a circle and we asked everyone to be grateful, one thing that they are grateful for themselves in the last 5 days. It took the first person to share about a good 2 minutes to actually be able to acknowledge what they are grateful for in themselves. Because it's so easy to be grateful for other people. Our mind is has been cultivated in a way to express our love for others. But have we learned to accept and express care and love for ourselves? When you start to know to accept yourself, this is not about being selfish. This is not about pumping our own egos, but this is learning to identify the good qualities that we have inside of ourselves in order to continue to enhance these qualities to offer. And of course, when we also come home to ourselves, mindfulness, we also start to see the unpleasant characteristics that are inside of ourselves. When we start to come inwards, we start to learn about ourselves, and we start to learn about our ancestors. My parents never had enough. So the thought of food, I was always overfed. And that fear started to be more present in me when I was away from my parents. So I started my training as a monastic when I was 13 years old here. And just like all of you, we line up to get our food. And while lining up, we should already be practicing moderation. Enough, enough. Our eyes sometimes deceives us. And especially if you see something that you really like, your craving, your greed gets enhanced. And you start to judge people in front of you. Hey, don't take too much. Save some for me. And when you see somebody taking more, you get angry at them. It's like, how selfish are they? Right? So even lining up is a whole journey. Just seeing the other person take food is a whole journey. And you start to see your own seeds, your own qualities that are triggered, and they become an energy that starts to be in your mind, your thoughts, your judgment. I am a perfectionist. And this is something I'm still working with. So I always wanted to be the best. So when I started to be an aspirant is someone in training to be a monastic. I wanted to be the best out of 12 of us. I'm gonna be super mindful. You know, my criteria were very Asian. Gotta be A++. Every time I came to the table, I always failed. The little hill on my plate. And I'm like, I was so determined the moment I bow, I got the plate. And I started, one day, I just sat there and I was like, where is this coming from? And that was a moment, an aha moment I had. My mother, my father, I see you. All your suffering, your fear of not enough, you are here. I have inherited that fear. Even in this present moment, I have enough. I have ability to make money. I have ability to feed myself. But even within these conditions, the kung fu training I shared from the beginning. Even in these conditions, what is buried as an experience from my ancestors have been transmitted to me. That was a real aha moment. And in our practice of Plum Village tradition, the three times interbe, the past, the present, and the future. When I am practicing right now, I am practicing also for my parents. I'm practicing for my ancestors. I had an opportunity to go and live with my parents. I tore my ACL playing football with the brothers. They were so competitive. And I went home, and I spent 3 months at home. The first month, because I've been away for so long, so it was very beautiful, like honeymoon. Everything was great. But slowly, 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 your mother, my mother, I love you, Mom. My mother's own habits started to trigger a lot of feelings in me. There's a saying in the temple: if you want to test your practice, go and live with your parents. Let's see how peaceful you actually are. Let's see how compassionate you actually are. Let's see how still you actually are. And you know, I have this robe, right? So I was coming home with this thought: I'm gonna teach my parents, I'm gonna transform my sister, I've been a monk for so long, I got it all. But there's also another saying in our temple life, is that the Buddha at home doesn't work. It has to be someone else that says it, they will listen. But your own flesh and blood, it doesn't work. And I want to share this because it can be helpful. As someone who now has a path and starts to understand themselves much more clearly and still see the amount of work that one has to do, the intention is to go and to force others to do the exact same thing. Especially our parents, because love is wanting to also see them happy. That is a view. And we all have many views. All of us have different views. But I was coming home with the view to fix my family. That was a wrong view. But through being with my parents, I started to let go of my view. Letting go is a power. I started to learn to let go of that view in order to be in the present moment, not with my judgment, not with my own perceptions, but to accept and to see the reality of where my loved ones are. They're not practitioners like me. I can't expect them to sit down and enjoy a cup of tea. I had to meet them where they are at. My mother, her whole life, 9 to 5 or 9 to 7, work has become a discipline, a part of life. I can't tell her to be lazy. Laziness, as we've learned, is a real practice. You can't just sit there and do nothing. And the more I was forcing, the more I was distancing myself. So through being present, mindfulness is meeting your loved ones with your whole body and mind. When you love someone, you want to be there fully, not with your view, but just as it is. And my mother and I, we share one thing in common. We love sport. And my mother loves the NBA. So every evening, we're watching games. And during this time of watching, especially the Toronto Raptors, we bond very well. And I started to be able to connect to her on a level where we can communicate without formality. And I know my mother worked very hard. And I was trained as an attendant for Thai. So I know how to massage very well. And I said, Mom, you want me to massage? Oh yes, please. That 30 minute every evening on my home visit, that became our bonding, our meditation. Because I can feel her tension, I can feel her stress. That's when I started to have heart to heart with her. I started to ask her, Mother, why did you let me become a monk? And you get to hear her explanation, her own journey. Said, because I didn't have the freedom like you to choose what makes you happy. And when you shared with me that you wanted to be a monk, the first thing that came up was fear. Deep fear. Is he making the right decision? Is this a summer fling? Because I was like in love with Plum Village. So she's like, is this just a summer fling? Is he just having too much fun? But the more I explained, the more she saw it was real. And she said, as a mother, the greatest gift I can offer is the support for your happiness. So suddenly, in that moment of being home, having that moment with my closest ancestor, which is my mother, I started to see her pain, her journey, who she is, and why she is who she is. And I started to let go of my judgment. Who am I to make my mother be a better person when she has done so much to give me this happiness, this freedom? It was the first time, this was 2013, that I accepted my mother for who she was. And I can share with you, that was a moment of deep happiness for me. Because there were so many moments that was, I had inferiority complexes in school gathering, bring your parents to school. I had a lot of fear of how others would judge, how others would see me because they see my parents. And in that moment of understanding and seeing her own journey, hearing it through many, many conversations, instead of seeing the negative quality, which we're so accustomed to, right? It feels good to see somebody's weakness. It's so nice to see somebody fail. It's also because we are trying to be okay with ourselves. So when we see other people's mud, their suffering, it makes us feel a little bit better. We have to accept this. I've accepted, I've had this mindset. You learn to accept what is present in you in order to have the opportunity to transform it. And when I started to accept my mother, there was ease in my heart. I started to see the whole journey, and I started to feel gratitude. Gratitude is a strength, is an energy, is a food for happiness. My heart started to be full of gratitude. And when you are grateful, the little tiny habits here and there, you can let it go. And because I have learned that I am the continuation of my mother and my father, I didn't have to wait for them to transform for me to be happy. I started to have the realization, I'm going to transform this for you, mother. I am going to taste the happiness, the joy that I can, thanks to my condition, and send this gratitude towards my mother. That was a moment where I felt very free. The freedom of not expecting that our ancestors to change fully. Because we are the continuation, whether we like it or not. That's a hard fact that we have to accept. And mindfulness practice is to give ourselves agency. Agency for our own life, agency for our own thoughts, agency for our own actions that we produce. They become the new narration for the future. I believe that if I didn't have that moment of acceptance and realization, I would just reenact that same story that my parents went through inside of me. And that will be my energy which I transmit. So what we learned is the three times, the past, the present, and the future, they all are made of the present moment. This very moment today will become your past tomorrow. And this present moment of how you think, how you act, what you are investing in, will be your future. The key to healing and transforming of the past belongs in the present. Understanding this, we have to know that we are allowed to visit the past, we're allowed to study the past, we're allowed to dive to know our history, but it is not to get lost in it. It is not to be a victim of it. The agency of the present is to know and trust that in this moment, with who you are now, you can move yourself forward in a way that you can help transform the past. When we say we need to take care of happiness, happiness here is our well-being. Happiness is a food for our strength. Happiness is a very big word. It has many layers. And our happiness is not like skipping down the park, la-di-da-di-da, but happiness here is realizing the deep joy that we can cultivate in this present moment. And our teacher says, don't think happiness is fluffy and weak. It can help transform the wounded child in you. By giving your present moment the experience of something it never had in the past. And that experience is also healing our our parents pass. Let us enjoy a sound of the bell, breathing with our lungs, but inviting our parents to breathe with our lungs. Practice is also to take responsibility. I talked about our ancestor, and sometimes it's easy to blame the past. Our practice is also to take responsibility in our present moment, the responsibility that we have for our own well-being, the responsibility that we have for our feelings, our thoughts. Inferiority complexes, what do we do with them? First is to accept that they are there and they are a part of us. Equality complex, what do? The same practice. I know you are there, my complexes, and I smile to you. And superiority complex, learning to embrace and to channel that energy. Somebody once asked me, brother, what do you do with your success? How do I channel my success? And this was a business person. How do you practice non-self in Buddhism when you do feel good for what you do? He's like, brother, don't you feel good for like hosting retreats and people leaving the monastery with smiles instead of a frown? Like, you should feel good about that. Is that allowed? So in that question, there are perception of what Zen is. Zen, no feelings, no emotion, solid like a mountain. I think mountains have feelings. Life is made of many conditions. Yes, we are allowed to feel proud. Let me repeat that. We are allowed to feel proud. But we can also learn to channel that pride towards gratitude. Giving thanks to all of the conditions that have made us who we are. One moment I had with Tai, our teacher. You know, he's written, I don't know how many books. It's kind of ridiculous how one person can write hundreds of books. And there was a moment, I was at the Hermitage. This is his private house near New Hamlet. And that day, a group of monastics who work directly with the publishing house, Parallax, they came and they said, Tai, your new book is here, fresh off the press. It's still hot. And it was such a joyful moment. And you know, Tai took the book, and you know the first place he went to? He went into his library, and in his library, he has an altar, a photo of his teacher, a photo of his mother and his father, and a lot of Buddha statues from around the world. And the first thing he did is he put the book on the altar, and he touched the earth three times very deeply to the altar. And I was a very young monk at that time. I was very curious. So I followed him, sneaking behind him, I followed him into the library. And I just did what he did. But in the touching of the earth, I understood my own interpretation of what that action was. That book, the name Thich Nhat Hanh was huge, bold. It's him. He spent hours, weeks, months, years for this book to be. And the first thing he did was to generate the gratitude of all the ancestors, spiritual, blood, and land. Because that these knowledge, these insights are not his alone. They have come from ancient wisdom from 2,600 years ago, as well as all of the conditions that are present now. So in that moment, I saw a moment of feeling pride, proud, and so beautifully enter into a spiritual practice of offering this gratitude to the past, the present, and the future. So we can always channel our superiority complexes. Inferiority complex, let's go back to that. I've been very blessed in this life. I've had the opportunity to meet many world leaders, even the 1% of this world. And I can share with you that they all have complexes. Don't think that more money and more success will erase your complex. This year on the tour, we had a North American tour, the US and Canada, and we led many retreats and days of practice. And we were selling our teacher's calligraphy as well as some calligraphies that I wrote. And the bestseller in quotes, it's not I have arrived, I'm home. It's not mindfulness, it's not the word Buddha. It was, you are enough. Everybody wanted that calligraphy. You are enough. This is to tell you that our society is all empty of feeling enough. And this is where it pushes us towards running after fame, power, wealth, sensual pleasure, more, more, and more. And the real freedom is when you can stop that running horse of energy, of looking for something to cling onto, to feel whole, to feel fulfilled. But all of this running is looking for it outside of us, a diploma, a position, so on. I'm not saying that we should just throw all of that away, but the teaching in Zen, the teaching in Buddhism, is that you can arrive and achieve all of that, but you will always feel empty unless you know how to touch your true home and to come inwards and to feel okay and to feel at ease and start to accept yourself and to make steps with solidity of your presence. Walking meditation that you have been practicing is simple, but it is very profound. Your footsteps are your seal that you leave on this earth. The way you walk, it also echoes how you are. when somebody who is fully present, fully at peace in themselves, their presence allow other people to feel at home. I remember meeting Tai for the first time in a Dhamma hall like this. And when he came in, just like many Dhamma teachers that come in for a talk, we all stand up to greet them. I was only 9 years old. And I think children are very mindful because they're very present. They see, they feel, and they accept whatever is. And I remember like Tai coming in and everybody walking up and my mom's like, who is this person? Whatever, okay, I'll stand up. And the moment he walked past me, I just felt this energy of presence. Somebody who is walking with real freedom. And I've learned his history. I've known the war that he's been through, being exiled and so on. And you would expect someone to suffer like that, to be carrying this burden. But when I met him in 1996, was someone who was walking with freedom. That was my first superhero. I said, how do I walk like that? How do I have freedom in my presence? Your presence is a gift. To trust and know that your own presence can change the whole situation. We were at this retreat in Vancouver, and it was another retreat for climate activists. And very high-profile people were there. And they met this lineup of very young monks and nuns. Their first energy that we receive, a little bit of judgment, some skepticism, and oh my God, inferiority came up. Oh my God, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I good enough? That became my mantra, am I good enough? And I had to stop. Yes, you are. And this isn't out of arrogance. In this moment, I was just like, I trust the Dhamma. They're not here for you. Fabhu is not what they're here for. They're here for their Dhamma. They're here to learn, to touch their inner peace. This is where I guided my mind toward. And surprise, surprise, the retreat was a great success. Many people left with a very big smile and real finding their true home. But the reason why I'm sharing with you this, because the retreat center where we were at, the CEO also took part in it. And many of the retreatants asked him, is every retreat like this? And he said, no, very different. And that became his question. What is so different between a Plum Village retreat and all of these other retreats that have been offered here? And at the last day, he was in my Dhamma sharing circle. He said, I think I found one of the answers. And he said, I think the difference was because all of the monastics, they were so authentic to themselves, which allowed us to be authentic with ourselves. We all have different masks. We are leaders. We are speakers. We are this. We are that. But that's not our authentic self. That is just a form that we have in order to work or in order to do. And we forget our own core. And it was because the presence of people who were authentic with themselves it welcomed other to learn to feel their feelings, to be okay with their tears, with their weakness, and embrace the negative seeds that they have inside of them. So being authentic is a journey, but it is something that I have learned to trust in myself. And in our world today, I think we are learning to celebrate much more the diversity of our world, of our society. So please see the beauty and see the wonders that you have inside of you. Mindfulness is a journey. It's not a pill to fix us. Don't expect to come here for 7 days and you leave an enlightened person. That's not it. Come here. Learn to arrive. And like, what are those people called? The one who look for dinosaur fossils? Archaeologists? You slowly uncover your grounds and start to see the richness that you have inside of yourself. And I want to end today's talk with my own transformation I had this year towards my beautiful country, Vietnam. Like I shared with you, it's been a journey to embrace my own heritage, embrace my own skin, embrace my language, and to discover the richness of our roots. And this February, I had the opportunity to go home. And I went to the bay where my father left as a boat person. And I stood there for a very long time. It's not my first time there. But I think because now I'm much more mature, I'm much more at peace with myself. I stood there and I stood there as my father, and to feel and to imagine the fear that he had, but also the courage that he had to wake up inside of him. And in that moment, it wasn't hatred that came up, but it was a lot of understanding and love I had toward my own country. Because our history is so ingrained in destruction and war that naturally, because of those conditions, it created the community, the society that it was. And suddenly, I had just very deep compassion in my heart. And as a child of the land, I asked myself, instead of blaming, instead of going down the rabbit hole of feeling angry, in this present moment, where there is peace now, a degree, and I still see suffering, and I'm still meeting young people of my generation who want to reinstall the beauty of a human being in our country, the love, the compassion, the richness that we have. How can I, as one cell of this great body, also contribute to my motherland? And in that moment, I started to heal. I started to heal a very deep wound I have inside of myself. And I also felt I started to heal for my father, my mother, and my sister. Because the one can embody many. I have re-fallen in love with my roots. And I will continue to re-fall in love with my roots. And the beauty is also, I am also the future of my heritage. My heritage of who I am, the heritage of my ancestral lineage, but also bringing it forward. So in us, the trust, when you learn to come home and accept who you are, it becomes an opportunity of healing the past, building and investing a stability in the present moment, your own presence. You could be a mountain that is solid. You could be a river that is flowing. Vulnerability is a real power. Don't think that tears are weakness. Sometimes it is tears that change the hearts and allows us to accept. The power to accept suffering is the power for transformation. And by knowing to be at home in the present moment, we help others build their true home. When you can do it, you give courage and confidence to others. And so for me, coming home to oneself allows me to help others come home to themselves. Not forcing others to come home to themselves, but we find ways to help them come home to themselves. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking care of your own true home, a true home of your ancestors, as well as caring for your future descendants. You might not see them yet, but by your practicing, your transformation, you are caring for your future generation. Even us monastics, we don't have biological children, but we still have a future. The children that come here, the people that come here, we see all of the friends, part of our tradition, our continuation body. So for us in Buddhism, in spirituality, mindfulness is not a tool, it's not a fix, it's not a pill. It is a path of transformation, a path to discover ourselves, accept ourselves, and cultivate joy, happiness, and celebration. We also learn to celebrate who we are. Now, every time I walk at the airport and somebody look at me, I'm like, this is who I am. What's up? This is who I am, like it or not. And I smile to people who like, what the heck? I'm like, hi, how are you? This is who I am. I own who I am. And by that, you allow others to also learn to be at home with who they are. Homework for the next 5 years, okay? Smile to yourself. This is who I am, and I celebrate that. Thank you. Let us enjoy three sound of the bell together.